the One series, and I'm going to continue us through that. Next week I'm not preaching in the morning, so you can all go, amen. Thanks. But I am in the evening, so you can all say, amen. Okay, good. So we're going to continue our series about One, and today we're going to look at the whole subject of reason to believe. Now, there are many passages of Scripture, many that we could look at today about this whole idea of the reason to believe. And so what we mean by this subject for today is that there are many reasons to believe in Jesus, aren't there? There are many reasons why we should believe in Jesus Christ, and we know them, many of them, because we've accepted Jesus for ourselves already, but we also need the world to know that there are many reasons for them to believe in Jesus Christ. And there's so many of them. In a sermon like this, you could pick loads of different passages of Scripture. I could talk about salvation and about how God forgives us and gives us grace and just allows us to be who we are and has a living relationship with us that takes away the bad things that we've done and cleanses us through the cross and gives us new life. And I could preach on every single one of those words in quite detail. But what I want to do this morning is one thing that I've really grappled with a lot lately, and I think you'll find it helpful. If you don't, apologies, but it's something that we'll all grapple with one day too, and it's around this whole concept about that when our days are nearly done, and in a world where we live, where people will understand that we're all born and we all die. True? We're all born and we all die. And I know that very sensitively today that I'll be leading that Thanksgiving service tomorrow and this week losing Sid Dunsford. You know, I've been a pastor long enough in this church now that when people die in this church now, I know them. You know, I'm going to miss Sid deeply. I love Sid. And I journeyed with him loads, especially these last couple of days. I'm going to miss him, but I know where he is. So that gives me strength to carry on. So do pray for those people. But often when we speak about death, it's a really, really, really hard thing to do. But when we think about evangelism, we have to somehow think about this whole concept of death and eternity, because actually it's one of the biggest things that we have in our hand to present about there being a future and there not simply just being the end. In a few minutes' time, we're going to look at John 14, that famous passage where Jesus comforts his disciples and says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms." And we're going to look at that in a few moments' time. That's in John 14. But let's jump back to John 13. We see that Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Good link this morning. Thank you. We haven't even spoken, so that was the Lord. But actually, in John 13, about how Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and then Jesus predicts Peter's denial of him. And so he talks about this whole conversation about what was going to happen. Jesus had to do things in preparation for what was going to happen to him. And we see there in John 13, in verse 31, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And so he starts to sort of talk to them about what was going to happen. And then he goes on in John chapter 14 to look at this whole concept about Jesus comforts his disciples, and then Jesus tells them who the way to the Father is. This is massive stuff. I was talking to Jonathan and to Ricky in the office this week, and they just said, "Really? All of that?" And so I cut half of it out, you'll be pleased to know, but it's massive. But I was on a course this week about bereavement and loss, and it was so informative. I was the only man in a room of 40 ladies, which was rather nerving. Has anybody ever done that? You kind of think it would be nice, but oh my goodness. We had to write what relaxed us. And on my sheet, in my group, we had nail manicure, pedicure, PJ day, pamper days. I put rugby down. I thought, well, I'm not sure that relaxes me anymore after yesterday. But never mind, that's another story. So I was in this course that I'm doing about bereavement and loss in partnership with Haven Hospice. And as we went around the room and as people shared about how we minister to people and care for people in this really difficult time in their life, it really struck me again how many people without any faith are so fearful about the end. And of course, in my job, both in this church, but also in my involvement in helping at Haven Hospice on a Thursday afternoon as a voluntary chaplain, I'm surrounded by people that are just asking these big questions. And we don't impose the answers. We simply just walk alongside them. But the fear of the unknown was so clear to me the other day, speaking to people over coffee and lunch and listening to what they said on this course, that people went around the room saying, well, I'm okay with helping other people, but actually when it comes to my own, I'm so scared and I'm so frightened. What will happen? What will it be like? What will I be? Will I be a butterfly? Will I be a rhinoceros? And I'm very conscious that I was there with another lady called Cara from the Holy Trinity Church. And she just came in and shared her great loss of her own 16-year-old child a few years ago. And then she looked across the room at me as if to say, Scott, now is your time, brother. I'm like, I'm just a bit upset about what you've just said. And I actually said, you know what, for me, death is not final. It's eternal. And I used so many different words to describe it than many other people did in the room. And it struck me again, if it hadn't struck me enough in the last couple of years, that for many people, they know when they're born and they enjoy life to the full, but when it comes to the end of life, what does it mean? What does it look like? Where does it go? How does it feel? And like I said earlier on, I'm very conscious that some of us in this room today might not want us to talk about death, but I think we have to. And I still struggle talking about it in so many ways too. But the reality is, it's the biggest tool, one of the biggest tools that we have in our hands to present Jesus to a world that are asking so many deep and meaningful questions. Somebody said, you know, we're so good at planning our death for what will happen after we leave this world, you know, insurance policies and funerals and all this stuff. But when that moment comes in this room of 40 people and in other people I've spoken to and research that I've done, over 45% of people in our nation, the biggest thing that scares them and they're frightened about is the end. And we as evangelical Christians have got surely something to present there, haven't we? We've got something to present in a helpful way, in a loving way, in a meaningful way, but we've got something to present. And we clearly see in John's gospel here, Jesus comforts his disciples and he talks about how he's the way, the truth, and the life. But the question I want to ask you before we move on is this, and you've got a card in front of you this morning. You should have a card. It should look a little bit like this. One thing that staggers us as ministers quite often, it's not a criticism, it's a reality, and when we understand the reality better, hopefully we can teach into it better, is the lack of knowledge that sometimes we don't know what we fully believe. And I want you to write on this card, nobody's going to see it, but I want you to write on this card just for a couple of minutes. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do this. What do you believe? What do you believe about that final moment? What do you believe will happen? How do you refer that to Scripture? If you need to write Scripture on there, would you write it as well? Does that make sense? So what do you believe? And there's a card there that says, Simon, what do you believe? And I want you just to write down a few lines. We haven't put lines, we've just put an empty space. You might want to draw if you're more creative. You know, some people might want to do some drawing or some, you know, I can't draw a matchstick man. But what do you believe? What do you believe when that final moment comes? What do you believe and where do you believe you're going? Just write it down. Nobody's going to see this card, but just write it down for 1 minute. And it could be, haven't got a clue. Doesn't have, nobody's going to see it. It's not going to be marked. You're not going to get a star. Would you write it down for a few seconds? Oh, dear me. There should be some pens around. If you haven't got one, just wave and somebody will throw you one. Apologies for this cough. Pray that it'll go away, would you? I know it'll go away if I stop eating food. Because that's how it works. The slimmer I am, I don't have a cough. Has anybody noticed that? Martin, why are you nodding? Have you noticed that? I want you to hold that card. And I want you just to hold on to that card. John Piper writes a really interesting book. He's written fantastic books. But he's written a really good book. It's called... 8 Reasons Why Jesus Died. And it's a really good book. It's just a small book that you can have. It can slip in your pocket. I've got a copy. And it's really good. Thank you for those sweets, whoever put them there. I've got some in my pocket, but I don't know how to suck a sweet and talk at the same time. Because I'm a man. I can't do two things at once. But thank you for whoever that was. But John Piper writes this book about why did Jesus die? And it's a really great book just to have in your pocket. And he said some of these things. Jesus died to give eternal life to all those who believe in him. Jesus died to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. Jesus died to take away our condemnation. Romans 8:1. Jesus died Jesus died to show us that God's love to us in Galatians 2:2. Jesus died to show God's love for sinners in John 3:16. Jesus died in Romans 5:10 to reconcile us to God. Jesus died so that we could escape the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. And Jesus died so we could be absorbed from the wrath of God, Romans 6:3. You see, Jesus died for all those things and so much more. But you see, we have to understand that there is a world who is finding it hard to understand what happens when that day comes. And I think I'm fairly pastoral, and when I have the privilege to speak to people about such things, I don't just go, rah! I often just stand and listen, but when they ask me the question, I need to know what I believe. And I was profoundly impacted by that this Tuesday. I didn't know what the course was about, apart from bereavement and loss, and there was an opportunity when there was what I could only imagine as fear in the room was able to present a different understanding, a different hope, a different future. And many of us in this room will know that those who we know who knew the Lord and loved the Lord are now in his presence, how much comfort that gives to us today. So John 14 says this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" Amen. Oh, amen. Come on, church. Amen. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me there." Amen. "You know the way to the place where I am going." And then it goes on to say, Thomas said to him, I love Thomas, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how will we know the way?" Praise the Lord for Thomas, eh? Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And then Jesus answers and says, "Look, have you not worked it out, Thomas?" See, there's a passage of scripture that doesn't just say to us evangelical Christians, but says to the world that Jesus has prepared a place for them to go if they know the Father. And so many people are so uncertain about the future, but we as evangelical Christians, believing in this to be God's word, we have an answer. And I want to suggest to us, for one of the reasons we believe is because, not just because what we receive here, but what we have in eternity with God forever. And we live in a world where that scares the living daylights of people, and we've got something to present into that context of darkness, which is Jesus, his light. You see, in verse 1 it says there, believe in me. There's a personal invitation for everyone to believe in Jesus, no matter how good or bad and ugly you've been. And so many people say to me, Jesus won't accept me for what I've done. Well, he does. But I've been really bad. Well, so is half the church of God. But they've been saved. And there's some saints among us. But I want to say there's probably not that many, because we're all sinners just trying to do our best. So there's a personal invitation to people. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. But there's also space for everyone in his new home. I'm going to be talking a little bit about this tomorrow. Very different passage tomorrow. But I love the way that Ray Stevens' grandchildren, the two little ones, they've drawn a picture. Now, he just hasn't got a room in the mansion. He's got a mansion, they've told me, the little children. I don't know how he got a mansion and not just a room, but anyway, I'll ask him when I get there. I'll just be grateful that I've got a little space to lay down my head. But there is space in this new home for all. There is a place of safety for those who believe in Jesus. There is a place of knowing our final destiny for those of us who are in Jesus. But yet we often hear, as statistics tell us, that we live in a world where people want to know a little bit more about the end and are fearful of it. But how often do you and I share this exciting news with people? Absolutely, it's a hard thing to share because people don't want to talk about death until they get there. And then when they get there, they're usually not well enough to talk about it, and then the family talk about it, and then maybe sometimes it's a lost opportunity. You see, there's a place of safety. There's a place of knowing. But also for some people, there's a place of where you can see others again. Somebody said to me the other day, not at the hospice, but somewhere else, I can't wait so I can see that person again. Now, that's complex. And I haven't got time to preach that because then I'll definitely go over time. But maybe that's for another day. But there is a sense that there's a personal invitation. But there's space for all. And how many of your friends and my friends, maybe we need to share the gospel, absolutely, and tell them the hope of Jesus. But we've got a message here that maybe somehow we've got to find out how to communicate it in a helpful way so people realize that actually at the end, but actually not the end, but before the end, and now today, there's this person called Jesus who has already prepared a place for you to go to be with him. Is that not good news? That is amazing news. And so often we know it in the Christian church and we sit back and we say, it's good for me. There's going to be a room or a mansion. But it's not good enough just to say, that's it for me. I'm always looking at opportunities. Always looking at opportunities in my own family to somehow get them to understand that they don't have to be good enough. And there's a place for them in eternity forever. The hardest thing is to tell our own family. And as you pray for me in that, I pray for you, those of you who have family that don't know Jesus yet. You see, one of the reasons that we believe is for the living relationship we have with Jesus, but also we also have eternity with him forever. So often people say, well, when somebody dies, they start a new life. No, they don't. As Christians, we just continue our life. It's a continuation. So many people say, well, that person died and they finished their life and then they've started a new one in heaven. It doesn't say that in Scripture. For those of us in Christ, it's just a continued relationship with God from this world into eternity. It's not like, oops, stop, I'm dead. Oh, let me step over, I'm now with. It's a continuation of eternity. It's a continuation with Jesus from life in this world into eternity. So there's no end. There's no end with Jesus. But so many people get to this point and there often is no end. And we have to also be real and say, you know what? For those who are not in Christ Jesus, there's trouble there. And it's not good enough to just wash it up, just say, oh, well, not really, depends how you... No! I remember a conversation with my mother saying to me, well, I'm a good person. That's going to get me in heaven. Mum, it's not. Being good isn't going to get you into heaven, but having a living relationship with Jesus is, and he will accept you for who you are today. Didn't go down terribly well, but it had to be said. But I love Thomas. Good old Thomas. Jesus, Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, we all know this, don't we? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So to the non-believer, there's eternity. There's a place in heaven. But to the non-believer, there is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life today. The way being Jesus, the truth being his word, the life being Jesus living in this world. But Jesus wants us to represent his life. And the challenge is, how often do we represent his life here on earth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it talks there about you come to the Father and then you could come and have a relationship with him. It doesn't speak there about how we've got to be X, Y, and Z. Amen. It doesn't talk about there we've got to be perfect. Amen. It doesn't talk about we've got to jump over so many fences. We've got to exhaust ourselves. But we've got to come with a heart. And we've got to come to that place of actually realizing who Jesus is. So we need to allow people to somehow encounter Jesus, people. Now, I'm all for church. You know that. I'm big into church. I think church is important to teach us and to edify us and to equip us. But we've got to live lives that somehow help people to encounter the way, the truth, and the life. Encounter Jesus in us. And for me, when I'm closer to Jesus, the way, when I'm deeper in his word, the truth, when that helps me to live a life that glorifies him much better. Maybe it's just me, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So here we have a passage of scripture that is so clear. We read it at funeral services, but we need to somehow think, how do we somehow get this understanding, this concept, into people's lives in a helpful way? Well, you're going to die next week? Well, that's a shame. Let me tell you what you need to do. No, but when do we speak about eternity? When do we speak about eternity? You know, I've got my one. And my one started their treatment this week on their brain laser scan thing. I don't know the medical stuff because that's not my job. My job is to get them in the kingdom. And I go there. And I pop in and have a conversation with this week. I make sure I go in at least two or three times a week. And I pop in there this week and I have a chat. They said, what have you been doing? I said, I've just been working on my sermon. I said, a sermon? What's a sermon? I said, it's when I talk to the church for 25 minutes on a Sunday morning. And he said, oh, just 25 minutes. I said, yeah, 20, sometimes 20. And he said, this is my friend Roland, he's making the dinner, his wife's just come back from the hospital after having some laser stuff on her brain. He said, what's it about this week? I said, do you want to know? I knew what it was about. I knew where I was going. I knew when he asked me what I'd done that day, I didn't just say I drank coffee with Ricky, which I did. I said I wrote my sermon. See, that was strategic. That was strategic. But it wasn't aggressive. Sermon, 25 minutes. I'm trying today. So what are you saying? I said, well, I'm going to talk about a piece of scripture in John 14. John, that's the New Testament. Yes, it is. In the Gospels, I said, yes, it is. I said, how do you know? He said, well, I've read the Bible now and again. And then his wife, who's the one who's sick, her brother, was an Anglican vicar, so she knew a bit. I said, yeah, John 14. I said, I don't know if you know it, but it's this part where it says, in my Father's house are many places. She said, we've heard that. We've heard that at funerals. She said, that's not very exciting to talk about on Sunday, is it? I said, well, hopefully it'll be helpful. She said, what does it mean? I said, do you really want to know what it means? She said, well, maybe I need to. And then the mobile phone went, and then he was trying to make his lemon sole with asparagus, and I was just going home for some vegetables and a fried egg. Should have stayed for dinner. It was a lovely fried egg and vegetable, darling. Lovely, it was lovely. So I nearly got myself into trouble. But next time I see them this week, I'm going to say to them this. Sunday went well. Even if it didn't, okay? Sunday went well. And I'm hoping they're going to say, well, why? And I hope God's going to give me another opportunity to talk in a little bit more detail about this passage of Scripture. We somehow got to help people encounter Jesus and interweave this story, which actually, there's lots of stuff in the Bible, but can I suggest to us that this is fairly important because what happens at the end and where we go and how we continue that journey is massive. And do we want everybody in eternity? Is there space for everyone? Absolutely. Has the church forgotten that? Absolutely. Have you and I forgotten that? Absolutely. Do we need to find it? Absolutely. The issue in our society today is so many people are grappling with this context. And the church, even though it's great, the church are just telling them that God loves them and feeding them and all those other things, which I'm not saying are not important. They are really, really important for us to be involved in our community in social action and in love and in care. But if we don't somehow help them to understand the context of what Jesus was saying to his disciples here, we're missing a big opportunity. I was with a child this week, can't say her name, 14 years old, just waiting. So I was chatting to her this week. She wanted to play a little bit of music. I said, I can do that. Ed Sheeran. I know, because Jessica's told me who that is. So I put on the iPad, Ed Sheeran. The hospice are delighted with me because I bought this cable to connect to the TV so we can have it on the big screen. I don't know how I worked that one out. I did it without Colin Kerry. Don't know how I did that. So we put this big screen up with a bit of Ed Sheeran and myself and this girl, we were singing. You know that one when the Italian sings? You know? Come on, somebody with me? Sorry? I've got a sore throat. Who wants that song? When the Italian singers, what? Perfect. See, there's the cool youth worker down here on the corner. Perfect. And we were singing this song, and I was singing, and she can't really sing because she just hasn't got enough energy. And at the end of this song, she had a tear in her eye, and I had a tear in my eye because I just think, no parents, foster parents that pop in now and again. And I just had an opportunity to chat with her. And she said, you know what, sometimes I get sad. She said, but I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry. I said, well, why don't you need to worry? She said, sometimes I get sad with my circumstance, but I don't need to worry because I know who I'm going to be with soon. And there she said to me, right there and then, sometimes I get sad, but I don't need to worry because I know where I'm going soon. And then she went on to tell me about how she encountered Jesus. So actually, for her, in a worldly sense, the future looks dull and the future looks sad and painful. But actually, in her soul, the future looks amazing. Church, somehow, in a pastoral, loving and caring way, can I suggest to us that the biggest thing, and it says it statistically if you look online, one of the biggest things that this nation is fearful over is this. And one of the biggest messages of hope that we have in the Christian church is this. So somehow we've got to look at how we can help people encounter Jesus through us. And look for those opportunities to share. That doesn't need to be a final end, but there can be a thing called eternity, where actually things look very different. One little girl who's in a wheelchair, we were talking about heaven just a few weeks ago. She, her parents are Christians, she's a Christian. She said, you know what, Scott? I can't wait to get to heaven. I said, great. Don't go right now, because I'm the only one with you. That's great. I said, why can't you wait to get to heaven? She said, you know what, because I've never been able to run. And the first thing I'm going to do in heaven is get out of this wheelchair, and I'm going to run and run and run and run. And I'm going to run till I can't run any further. And I'm going to skip. And I'm going to jump. And I'm going to be with Jesus for eternity. And I'm like, yes. I didn't cry, but I had a tear in my eye. Again, hope. And you know, and I know, that Jesus would want us to somehow share something of this. And I put down here, people need us to help them encounter Jesus. Invite friends to Alpha Absolutely in church because they'll encounter Jesus there. But in our daily living and our daily walking and in our daily conversations, we need to somehow help people to encounter Jesus. And forgive me if I've majored just on this passage, but I felt out of conviction this week. And sometimes pastors have to preach out of conviction. That actually here's a passage of scripture where our world struggles with so much on the subject of this. And we have so much to speak about it. We need to be more meaningful in how we meaningfully address it. But do you know why? Ricky, this is your cue. Because you know what? We don't talk about this very often, but the King is coming soon. Do you know that? I want to play a song. I want to play a song to you if I can. It's one of my favorite songs. It's a gospel song. And sometimes when I feel that I just haven't got enough in my soul, in my body to keep on going, I sometimes play this song to myself. Because this song talks about how the King is coming. Be ready. For the King is coming. Be ready, for the King is coming. And actually, until God comes back and takes me to be with Him, I've got to be ready because He's going to come back any day. And if He's going to come back any day, I've got to be actively helping people to encounter Jesus. And I want to encourage you today to understand what you believe, not just on this passage, but on all the other passages in Scripture. And let's be bold enough to share that. And let's be bold enough to somehow allow people to encounter Jesus in us. People are never going to encounter Jesus in us if we never talk about Jesus and we never demonstrate Jesus and we never talk about the truth of Jesus. I'm not asking you to be like me because the world doesn't need more people like me. But God is asking you to do it in the way that God created you to do it. And God wants you to be uniquely you. But he wants you and me in our own way to give a reason for what we believe in and to share that in a way that people need to know and encounter Jesus. Don't you believe that? And we need to do that. And this song, it's a bit lively. But I want you to close your eyes. Can you do that? Don't sleep. Jill, don't sleep. And I want you to listen to these words. And then Angela wants to come and say something at the end. I wasn't getting told off anyone. She wants to say something at the end. And then I'm going to pray. But this song encourages me to keep on going because the King is coming. My favorite song. Well, I thought there might be a bit more movement, but I usually play that at the maximum volume, and I just sing my heart out, because the King is coming, and we've got to be ready. Guys, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to give a reason for what we believe in, and we need to rely on the Spirit of God to lead us in that, but we need to be people of courage and faithfulness in doing that. Because it's not good enough for us just to keep waiting. Because the King is coming, and we got to be ready. Let's focus on Anjanette. Ready? Yeah. Can you help
me with that?
What?
No, what is he going to say? Thank you, brother. Morning. So I just wanted to tell you a couple of really encouraging things that have happened in my workplace about my one. I was a bit of a rebellious pastor's wife. When he gave me these papers, I thought, you know, yes, with my gingerbread man on it, I thought, oh, what gimmicky thing is he doing now?
She and did say that.
It's still in my handbag. I haven't written the name on it. I haven't put it on there. But anyway, I do have a one, and it has become very exciting. A couple of weeks ago at work, I know Scott told you that my practice manager had a really serious accident. She was driving her car, and she had a heart attack, and she crashed the car. So Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, we were told about this. We've had 2 weeks at work of being really anxious about her. We've had a lot of spiritual conversations at work, people talking about praying for a miracle, people talking about the power of prayer. When she crashed her car, she crashed in front of a paramedic's house. So people have been saying, oh, well, wasn't that lucky? And we've been able to say, well, actually, I don't think it was luck. I think, you know, this was part of God's plan. He's been watching over her. So some of you have been praying for her, and thank you. She's doing really well and hoping to come out of hospital soon. So that's really amazing. But we have been talking a lot about faith at work. And a few weeks ago when I was given my piece of paper, I don't really know that I really had the faith to really believe such exciting things were going to happen at work. But I have one work colleague. She was here on Christmas Eve with her grandson, and they videoed Ricky and the puppets. She watches the video every single day. She loves it. And I told Ricky this, and Ricky told me that the puppets are hopefully going to be here Palm Sunday. So I was getting ready. Palm Sunday, I'm going to invite her for lunch. I'm going to invite her to church, and I'm gearing myself up for this. And this morning she sends me a text, and she says, do you think it would be okay if I came to church with you in the next few weeks? So isn't that amazing? You know, we need to just be bold. We need to believe these prayers when we pray them, because God is moving, and we need to take opportunities as they come up.
So the moral of the story, thank you. And you see, even the pastor's wife's disobedient sometimes with the piece of paper. Good girl, well done. But when we went to see that lady in hospital, that Basildon Hospital this week, you know, I stood there, said nothing. I'm like, come on, Lord. And she said, oh, I feel much better. I said, no, because the Lord's done a new thing in your life. I'm going to get her into the kingdom, but I have to do it sensitively. Angela said, I've got to stand back a bit, because I don't want to upset people. But it's great, isn't it? And you probably got loads of other stories too. But you see, when we're faithful and we believe, even if we struggle to believe, but when we trust in God, look what he can do. Look what he can do. We're going to sing just two songs that should get us to dead on 12 o'clock, Connor. If not, you're in trouble, all right?